The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 4 blockumentary. We are now on week 5 of the season, and I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong. Here with me, of course, is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I feel like I need to have someone turn me around and kick me in the ass.
Yeah, you were really blindsided last week.
I really was. I was so blindsided. I thought Allison was going to put up Justin, but she didn't. She took out Dana. Who saw that coming? No one.
Yeah, and I know that you were really trying hard to win that HOH.
I was trying so hard, and I failed on probably the easiest question that Big Brother has ever asked us.
Yeah, and you also didn't know about Allison's elephant.
Right. Of course not. I think I'm going to make this my new thing, where I just try to pull a Jack quote out as my first thing. Yeah. Well, I've only got a little while longer I can do that, but I'll do it for a little while.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about episode 15. We're like halfway through, right?
Are we already?
Close to it.
I guess it's day 33 in the house. So,
I mean, these seasons are a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, 33 to 40 this week. Getting there. It's crazy. Yeah. It's like
there's 10 weeks total, so.
Yeah, it's already been almost a whole Survivor season. So, it's cool. Eviction of Dana happened. June's happy that it was a 6-0 vote, and so she feels more secure in her position because nobody even tried to throw one her way. So that's great. But Erica is like, yeah, you know, Dana, she was just too crazy to keep in the house. Someone that unpredictable. Erica's thing where she tries to like retroactively act like everything was sort of her idea or that it benefits her is getting a little old already.
I was annoyed with it like week one.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that like for her, she's thinking like, if I get far enough, I want the editors to be able to craft the season around me. So you might as well say stuff like that because it could make it look good. If we're looking at an Erica win here, we'd probably be thinking about these in a different light, but because she has no agency in this game and no say in anything. Besides choosing whether or not to throw votes towards Jack or not. It's really the only choice she ever has.
Yeah. And like, honestly, I'd give her credit for it. Like I do Tim Dormer in Big Brother Canada, where like, he knows how to play up the edit to make himself look really good. Except again, she comes back for All Stars and doesn't seem to have the same skill. So I don't know how intentional this is. I wonder how much of it is just her genuinely believing that she's great in the same way that she genuinely believes that her fashion is great, as we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that a lot when we get there. That's rough. That's a rough, a rough segment. But yeah, you know, overall... I know that they don't typically on the show in the edit like talk about people who've left unless there's a potential for people to come back or whatever. But I love that Dana was such a big factor and then is just after this scene never mentioned again.
She's gone. Well, we see Allie crying, feeling guilty about Dana. Like, oh, I feel so bad for her. That's not going to last very long. June actually spent some time crying by herself. She says she's an emotional firecracker, but she doesn't want people to see her like this. And so she just does it alone and then goes and acts like everything was normal.
Well, that's one of June's things is that she doesn't like when other people cry, especially the girls. And so she wants to hide that.
And yeah, I think that, you know, she talks about like things got really, Dana brought the game to a really personal place. And it really did seem like, you know, June's game to this point was, I think, sort of anchored by Dana. And I think that she had a rough week dealing with Dana campaigning, but not campaigning against her. And now that she's had her cry, she says that she's ready to let it go and start really, you know, moving forward in the game. And I can tell you that there's a lot from the feeds this week that that was not in the show that has to do with June. And we'll get into it. But she's definitely telling the truth when she says
this. Yeah, you know, June, she's escaped out into the forest. She's casting ice everywhere. She's letting it go like Elsa. And this is a changed June for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So we're going to see that Justin wins the HOH due to Allison's elephant thing.
Rigged.
And rig. I can tell you, Nathan was, Jack was pissed. Very pissed about this HOH.
That's fine, Jack, but you still are terrible. didn't do your part to even get past the first question.
Mm-hmm. He was pissed about the stage rage. He's also going to be very pissed about the veto.
Yeah.
Nathan was more pissed about the HOH. Jack is more pissed about the veto. So Justin was the HOH. Allie talks about how, look, I used Nathan for his veto and it put him at great risk. That's the situation.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Nathan. This is like pretty unbearable week for Nathan. He's like, just, he's upset, annoyed the whole time. He's definitely taking out things against Allie, which I go both ways, because Allie definitely has used him, and it must be hard to think that you've got sort of a pair and an alliance member, and that it's you guys are against the world. Come to find out, no, Nathan, it's just you against the world, and Allie's fine. She's already secured her lot. At the same time, you know, you can't blame Allie for making some of those moves. It worked for her. She's cutthroat and she's making good alliances with both sides. She's officially announcing that she's a floater at this point. And Nathan, you know, you fell for it, but you put yourself in this position and you didn't do anything last week to get yourself out of it.
Yeah, I mean, he tried.
but he didn't. I mean, it's like, if you ever find yourself in the Big Brother house in a situation where like you have one move to make or you need to win a competition and it doesn't work out for you, then it means you've made other mistakes up to this point. Like,
You know, and the mistake is vetoing Allie.
Well, right.
And trusting
her. The mistake was doing that. But also I feel like there's a way where he could have vetoed Allie, trusted her, and also just throughout the game had gotten a little more in with the other guys. I mean, this is why it's not always the case that you have a house that was divided so obviously from the beginning into two different groups, but it's the people who learn to work within those two groups that do better than someone who's just so fixed in their side. Nathan doesn't have like a very, very close relationship with any of the guys or even someone like June. Like, he doesn't have like an individual bond that's going to, you know, make someone want to look out for him. With the exception of Allie, and then that was a bad choice. You put all your eggs in one basket, and it was the wrong basket.
Well, I will say, you know, something that I've sort of been seeing, like looking through the feeds, is that I actually have been decently impressed with Nathan's game from what I've seen, in the sense that prior to using the veto on Allie, he actually was in a good spot and he did have good relationships with the Stooges. He actually did have an individual relationship with June that we're going to see sort of play out this week. There's a lot more to it on the feeds. And he actually comes very close to surviving this week, which I don't think the edit even, you know, they kind of like try to make it seem like he has a chance, but usually it's fake. But this one was actually very real. And he really was in a position where he could have done really well in the game. His big major mistake is really just souring a lot of the relationships that he had built by using the veto on Allie, and then spends all of his time focused on the resentment that he has for Allie, which again he actually ended up using to his benefit a little bit later on, but definitely was he was just his game definitely tanked by Allie overall.
Right, and I think, like you're saying, he did a lot this week that put him in a situation where he actually did have a chance to stay by the end of it, and it was close, but towards the beginning of the week, and especially in the decision of, like, putting him up on the block or whatever, there was... He shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. Like,
again, like using the veto on Allie just completely tanked all of his relationships. He attempted to build them back up, but again, I think he spent too much of his time focused on, like, Allie, why are you doing this to me? And not enough, not enough immediate heel turning. When he realizes that Allie is not with him, when she doesn't put Justin on the block the next week, I think that he immediately needs to go, okay, I'm done with Allie. I need to find other people. But he spent too much time trying to reel her back in, trying to guilt trip her or whatever it was that he was trying to do. And it's that lost time, I think, that's going to be ultimately his downfall here, because again, he comes close. And if he had had a little bit more runway to be working on it, I think he stays.
Yeah. If he had maybe started trying to do some of those tactics toward the beginning of the week, or prior to this, he tries this week, but it's just so obnoxious watching him pout around for so long. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know that you'd be upset if this happened, but it's not getting you anywhere to just sit around and be annoying.
Well, the thing is that it doesn't help him anyway. It's wasted energy. Right. Like, I don't know what he thought he was trying to do, but when you play the game of Big Brother, when you're betrayed by somebody, it doesn't help to pout. Guilt tripping is not a very effective strategy. And him, you know, being like, you screwed me over. You did screw me over. And she's like, I didn't screw you over. He's like, no, you did. Like, what? Like, let's say he convinces her, yes, you did screw me over. Now what? How does that, where does that get him in the game, right? It doesn't. It just gets him somewhere emotionally. It just gets him like, I got my pound of flesh, but now I'm still going home. So it's just a completely wrong direction for him to be spending his time and energy. And again, you know, that wasted energy might have been just the thing that he needed to survive the week.
Yeah, the other thing is, so we have Justin here saying that, you know, him and Nate have sort of an unspoken understanding that they're both going to be coming after each other. And the way that this season was structured with the exes, I really feel like you can say, like, oh, the big mistake he made is using the veto on Allison. That's probably true. But the reason he did that was because he had a personal relationship with Allison, you know, or an alliance with her or whatever. And if you're, if you're playing
relationship,
well, right. Well, from his point of view, whatever, but if you're in a situation where you've got these exes and you want to be able to play with both sides, you can't be, much like Dana, you can't be the person who has then had a semi-romantic relationship with someone who is also still kind of working with their ex. Like, it didn't work out well for Dana. It's not going to work out well for Nathan. You don't want to be like that, the new kid in the relationship, because even though you've got these exes, like, the second Nathan does this, he's gonna kind of burn a bridge with Justin. The second that Dana gets with Justin, even if it's not like jealousy, even if it's not like Allison wants to get back with Justin, she's not gonna want Dana to be there. You don't want there to be another person in your relationship who might have, like, more control over your ex than you do. Mm-hmm. So I would advise, if anyone's ever playing a game where you have this kind of setup, don't be that person. Like, you can be pals with Allison or friends with her, but if you can't be in, like, a romantic coupling, because Allison is still going to tell Justin stuff, and Justin is not going to want you, Nathan, there to be a go-between.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, he was fooled into thinking that Allie was not with Justin in any way. Right. And that's where, you know, again, the big mistake comes in, that he thought that she wasn't going to be working with him in any capacity. And I think something interesting from, you know, we're tracking this season known for June being a floater, having a really successful floating game, sort of seeing that Allie, was definitely there first, but even the person that was there even before Allie was actually Nathan. Nathan was the guy who had the best relationships on both sides and probably could have successfully been the floater of the season if not for that move to use the veto on Allie, which basically completely blew up his entire spot. And he almost got, again, almost, we'll talk about it, almost this week, got back to that place. But instead, when he uses that veto on Allie, it puts Allie in the position to be able to float instead. And then we're going to see that that June sees what Allie is doing, and has also been doing some of it herself. And she's going to really kick it up a notch this week as well, trying to get into that floater spot. And so it's this whole season was really about who can be the floater of the season, and there are a lot of different people competing for it, and Nathan is the guy that really he either tripped himself or was tripped by Allie in the race to be the floater of the season.
I think he was tripped by Allie. I think there was a lot more agency there for Allie. I don't know, he's blinded by something. There's also a bit of talk, especially in the edited show, about Nathan should have, he also made a mistake by making an agreement with Justin week one to save him give him the HOH. If he had not done that week one, maybe they'd be in a different situation. A lot of just sort of retroactive thinking here.
Yeah. I mean, this is typical Jack. Yes. the mistake that Nathan made was not taking out my biggest enemy, because now my biggest enemy is taking him out, which is bad for him. But I definitely disagree with Jack on this one. In fact, if it were up to Justin, Nathan would have stayed this week. Justin was not lying about that. And so, I think that was actually a pretty good move by Nathan. Again, the bad move was the Allie.
Jack is like, he's in this one way battle where he thinks that him and Justin are like, oh yeah, you know, I'm against Justin and Justin's against me, but it's just one sided. And Justin does not care about Jack being a little small fry on the side.
I mean, he does see Jack as a big threat, but not bigger than Nathan.
Right. Yeah. So Allison tells us that she's playing this floater game and that she, you know, is thinking about this whole Nathan taking her off with the veto, and it's like, Nathan's gonna want me to win the veto and take him off. But she tells the Three Stooges guys that she's never gonna do that. She's not gonna use the veto on Nathan, and they don't need to worry about that. Either way, Allison, you know, if you think you're not gonna go on the block, don't even try to win the veto. At this point, it's going to turn out later, it probably would have been an okay thing for her to win the veto, because it does come pretty close to her getting back on the block.
Yes. And she on the feeds had no interest in winning the veto, that she was not going to try to win the veto.
Well, and as we're going to see again, it's not really a veto that one individual by themselves can win easily.
Correct. She never intended to win. I love this quote from Allie here. She says, I'm a floater right now. I have both sides thinking I'm on their side. And, you know, it's really just coming down to who has power. And this is, I think this is like the first real explanation for the floating strategy that we've ever really seen on Big Brother so far, that Allie is describing the strategy that defines this whole season, and she is making an attempt at performing it for us here, and she describes for us what it means, and you know, this definition will unfortunately in, you know, future seasons get a little muddy here and there, but this is the true meaning of a floater, and Allison is definitely trying to embody it at the moment.
In the off chance that you are somehow a new fan of Big Brother, maybe this is your first time watching Big Brother 4 or something, this is why people get into debates over the difference between a floater and a coaster and all the different definitions of floater. This is the definition that a lot of hardcore fans are going to point to, where floater is a completely viable, good strategy if you can pull it off, and it does not equal a weak player or a goat.
Mm-hmm. So Robert talks about how they need Allie for a vote, so they're going to use her for that vote. That they don't really trust her at this point in time, but they need her as a vote. So Justin is going to hold court. He invites the other players one at a time to come in and have a chat with him.
Well, first they have to go through G, because he's gonna he cracks the door open with each person, asks them who it is, and then has to ask Justin over his shoulder, hey, is this okay? You're gonna speak to Erica? Is that fine? You cool with that?
Mm.
Okay, you got 5 minutes.
Yes, and this is humiliating for Erica. That's how dare they?
Well, and I will say that Erica does a good job in the moment. Like, in the diary room, she says it's humiliating. She does a good job sort of laughing around or laughing it off and saying that it's ridiculous, but that she's okay with it on the actual episode.
Yes, but Jack, I thought, had a better response. He said, it was funny. You know, when you lose, you have to eat some crow and whatever else is on the plate. So I'm eating the humiliation apple with gusto.
Yeah, that's Jack all through this entire week in the next scene.
He's just got some great descriptions.
Yeah, he's great. He probably sits around for a while trying to think of exactly how he wants to word these things. I love that Jack comes in to do his talk and says, I want y'all to know I've had your back since you've come here. And then everybody laughs, because that's just not true. That's fun. That's a fun one.
Yes, Justin does respect that Jack plays without emotion. That is something that he is able to appreciate. Jack says that Justin is the brains, Robert is the emotion, and G is the diplomat. So
I think that's pretty accurate so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Robert says, you know what? It was the intention to humiliate the house.
Yeah, he wants to rub it in and be unbearable for the rest of the week. So good on them. But you know what? You start seeing some peanut butter flying around. So we're going to be getting to a food competition right around here. Robert is going to talk about how they can eat the different condiments when you're on PB&J. And so he's making just not even peanut butter, but like condiment sandwiches, mustard and mayonnaise and steak sauce, I think, on some bread. That didn't sound that bad. Sounded okay.
Did it?
I mean, it didn't. Like, I'm not going to eat that instead of eating other food, but I would get tired of the taste of peanut butter pretty fast. And so I think that, yeah, if you can mix it up anyway, at least get some different flavors in there. I like mustard.
I mean, I guess so.
Okay.
But I mean, it's definitely.
So you're just going to sit there and eat peanut butter and jelly every day?
I mean, I'll throw in some extra into the PB&J every once in a while, but I don't know if I'm going to make a condiment sandwich.
What do you mean extra? What extra are you going to put mustard on your PB&J? That sounds disgusting.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
that's too far.
That doesn't mix.
But yeah, go ahead and put mustard and whatever else, like all the condiments.
Well, it's like the normal condiments you'd have on a sandwich, just minus like the meat and the cheese and stuff.
Well, but like, it's not exactly doing much for you.
I didn't say it was. It's just sometimes you need a different taste and flavor. Okay, whatever. Slice and dice, food competition.
This food competition sucked. Can I just say that? I hated it.
You can hate it all you want. I hated the fact that they made the editing look like it came down to literally the last second. I highly doubt that was the case. But I will say that something I love about this food competition is just how like backyard birthday party casual it feels. Like the mics are all kind of muted because they're running around and making a lot of other noise. People you just see are just kind of hanging out, walking around the background. Like supposedly they have 10 minutes to do all these things, but people aren't even really paying attention. Towards the end of the competition, it looks like everyone's just kind of helping. Like, what are the rules? It just seems very out of control.
This just felt like let's make everyone get in ridiculous costumes and then we're gonna throw goop on you because that's what we like, goopy goofiness.
Yeah, but Jack in that strawberry costume,
That was the one highlight.
It's great.
That Jack is done with the FBI after being a strawberry.
Yeah, I just imagine, you know, panning over to that face of Jack sitting in the cereal and, you know, using one of those, like, Instagram filters. It's like, da-na-na-na-na-na. Okay. It made sense to me. So yeah. Robert's a hot dog, Nathan's in a chicken suit, and June's a banana. And then it's also one of these competitions where, like, one of the person in the pair does nothing. They just sit there in a weird outfit, and the other person has to, like, run back and forth and slop a bunch of gross things.
I'd rather be the running back and forth person, though.
Yeah, although, at least the way they made it look, like, Erica's was way harder than everyone else's. She had to carry, like, 15... gallons of milk back and forth.
Well, that's what she said.
There were a lot of gallons of milk. I don't know if you saw
it. She said she carried that much milk. I only saw her carrying two jugs.
There were a lot. You saw the, like, little baby pool of cereal.
Yeah, but
and there's all the milk jugs around it.
I don't know how many of those jugs she actually moved.
Well, right. And I think almost none of them ended up in. I'm sure they only had to dump two of them into the pool itself, because it would take a good portion of 10 minutes to, like, empty. Like, the milk is, it takes a while to get milk out. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like you're shotgunning the milk out of the thing. Yeah. You're not busting open the bottom. Pouring takes a long time. And they definitely did not pour all those.
Yeah. Well,
that was the only highlight.
Good news. They got Subway.
Yeah. And they all win. It's another one of those, you're breaking the food competition by not having any losers. There should always be losers.
Sure. But they're very happy about Subway.
Yeah. Subway looks good. I'm never hankering for Subway, but then if, like, someone handed me a sub, I'd eat it.
Mm. Well, they come back inside and they see that there's a smaller table.
Oh. In these early seasons, especially, the smaller table is such a big deal. You always have at least one person who's going to say something along the lines of, oh, now the game is on. I realize now that we're getting rid of people and look at that smaller table. June's the one who's going to take that confession.
Congratulations, guys. It's such a big accomplishment to make the small table in Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Allison says, I feel like I still have a lot of work to do in this house. There's still a lot of chairs around the table.
Mm. June says it jump-started her competitive spirit. The gloves are coming off. And like I said, she's not lying.
No, definitely not. So June and G get into a fight. I couldn't even really follow what they were fighting about in particular.
It's more of a general sort of montage of they don't get along, but it's on purpose a bit, where June talks. Oh, G is never going to win an argument with me. I always had the upper hand in our relationship. But here's the thing. I don't mind getting in fights with him because it will help hide our alliance.
Yeah, and that's good. And they're not even like drop down knockout fights. It's just kind of bickering, saying a lot of little random things. And
it's old married couple
right,
fights.
He calls her a witch and she says, I'm your mother figure. And he was like, yeah, because I was 16. And she says, you were just playing Xbox all the time, or PlayStation, mm-hmm. or something.
PlayStation. Yeah. Get it
this
right.
This was probably it's not pre-Xbox, but probably at least.
She meant like actual PlayStation, not just like trying to abbreviate PlayStation 4. No, she meant the PlayStation right.
yeah.
was the
thing. I have
thing.
A PlayStation. PlayStation 1. I have PlayStation 2. PlayStation 1, good times. Cool Borders, Tony Hawk. It's good times.
Yeah. Allie and Erica are dancing in the house. Robert says only him, Erica, and Allie can dance. Nobody else can dance in the house.
The dance montage was kind of fun. I don't know why Justin's so annoyed with it. Like, you got nothing else to do. I mean, Justin, you have a lot more things that bug me about you than these people learning how to dance in their free time. And hey, Robert salsa dances some.
Yeah, we found out that that's where Erica and Robert met.
I think that answers some questions.
Salsa dancing.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah. We also find out that Robert has quit drinking. He was an alcoholic and he has an entirely new life now. He hasn't had any alcohol in the house. This is a nice little segment.
Yeah, it is pretty nice. And it's segments like these that, if you remember back in our first episode when I said that there are some redeeming qualities that at least if you're just watching the edited show, you're going to probably hate Robert, but he has some moments that come across kind of tender. And this is one of them. This and anytime he talks about his daughter, while it doesn't necessarily make up for all of the other things he says and does, it does, like, you know, move the needle back in that direction occasionally.
Well, everyone is human and everyone has their own struggles, right? And it's good for him that he's able to overcome this particular struggle.
Yeah. So that was a nice conversation. He's doing it for his daughter, wants to be able to take her to school, take her to the movies.
Erica and Jack feel bad for Nathan. Poor guy. He got bamboozled.
Yeah, he did. And they think that, you know, they see what Allison's doing. They see her talking with the other side. And Erica brings up, maybe they can get the guys to do their dirty work and take out Nate and Allison for them. And they just need to stay hidden all the way to the finals. And then, boom, they're there.
Yeah, they would like to see Allie go and save Nathan if they can. But this is just more of the people with no power kind of talking about what they wish would happen, but won't happen.
Yeah, well, they try.
Yeah.
Nathan talks with the guys and says if he survives this week, he won't turn against the guys next week, and says that Jack and Erica will probably be the ones who would come after them instead of him anyway, and that if he wins HOH, they can, or if the guys win HOH again, then they can just get him out next week.
Yes, he says, look, if I go, you still have Erica and Jack to deal with, but if I stay, I'm still a big target. I'll help you out. I'll go after Jack and Erica. People like June will still put me up. Like, it'll be fine. This is a great deal.
Meet Shield strategy has not really been a thing yet on Big Brother in this season. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of him pitching that concept, which I think makes sense sometimes. And when you're only in week five of maybe a modern day season, this would be a little bit more viable. But week five now, I mean, there's only eight people left, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad pitch for Justin when you think about it.
Yeah, it's
when you think about how this plays out.
Certainly for Justin, yes, it's not terrible. It's hard because when you have someone like Nathan who's on the ropes and has already, like you said, made this big choice in the past to do something like use a veto to take Allie off, you don't really have any guarantees that he wouldn't just do the same kind of thing in the future if he was in that position.
Of course. And I think that's, again, one of the reasons why he is sunk this week is that he has that history of sort of putting everything else on the line in order to make this kind of bold move. And it doesn't speak well of any promises that he makes now.
And I guess, like, using hindsight, you could say Justin maybe should have made different decisions this week to help him out for next week. But I can't blame Justin for just saying, you know, you got Nathan. He's always going to be a pretty big physical threat and he's not with me. Hasn't really shown any kind of loyalty to me up to this point. So I don't have any great reasons to keep him. And I get that. And I don't necessarily think that there is at this point in the week, a better decision for him to have made.
Mm-hmm. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So we get to the nominations. Jack says, if I were Justin, I'd put Allie and Nathan up. And, my response is, well, yes, because you make bad choices, Jack. That would be such a bad move for Justin.
Yeah. Yeah. What he's saying is not if I were Justin, he's saying here's what I would like to do.
Exactly. Here's what I would like to have happen.
Yeah. Different thing. Justin says he values truth and honesty, and none of this is going to be personal. And for once, we don't have someone saying on the episode, like, ha, I'm stacking these keys in a really important order.
Yes. Robert, June, Erica, Allie, and G, which means Nathan and Jack have been nominated for eviction.
I don't love this move. Like, kind of ruining the suspense by putting G last. It's not like you're going to put G on the block.
Well, I like I said, I don't think he stacked it for suspense. He says, both of you didn't hesitate to lie to my face, and so I needed to hit where it hurts most. So Jack and Nathan are both up on the block, and there you go. Allie says she would feel obligated to pull Nathan off the block if she won the veto, which is why she's not going to win the veto.
And I get what he's saying about Jack and Nathan lying to him, but to be fair, like, everyone lied to him. It wasn't just Jack and Nathan.
Everyone except for Erica.
True, but I mean,
because she was on the block at the time.
Yeah.
And couldn't vote.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even Dana lied to them that week. So this is kind of...
No, yeah, he says in on the feeds when he... I mean, basically, how this works is that immediately after Justin won, the plan was always going to be Jack and Nathan. And Justin basically says, like, look, Erica's the only one in this house beyond the Stooges that hasn't lied to me. And that's because she was on the block when everyone lied to them about the vote. And he, of course, he recognizes that Dana is one of those people as well. But it's a very... sort of silly line of reasoning, because Erica was 100% behind the vote flip as well. It's like, it's not like she chose not to lie to you. She just didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
But they were concerned. They were concerned about what happens if Erica wins the veto and takes Jack down. That would force us to put Allie on the block, and that would not be ideal. June actually says, well, if that happens, I mean, can we take Allie out? That'd be great. I'd love to take Allie out.
Yeah, and while it's not ideal, it's also not a bad scenario.
Well, it is a bad scenario because June would take Allie out.
Yeah, but like, I know that Justin and Allison are working together, but I don't think that, like, losing Allie is not... I mean, if you lose Allie and you spin it to Nathan as, like, we're actively going to take her out and save you... you could potentially gain another sort of ally. I mean, Allie's not going to be, like, helping Justin win the game. She's also using Justin.
Well, sure, but if, like, Nathan, if he is saved by the Stooges, is willing to basically not try to get them out anymore. If he's, like, but he's not willing to, like, actively work with them and actively target Jack and Erica. If he's saved by June against the wishes of the Stooges, he's gunning for them hard, right? Like, whereas Allie is not gunning for them that hard, right? Losing Allie over Nathan would be a pretty big blow, especially considering their track record as HOHs.
Well, either way, no matter which way this went, it's not like Justin's getting farther in the game. So,
right. So, June would like Allie to go, but the Stooges are like, nah, Nathan has to be first. And so they're concerned about Erica winning the veto, and so they actually go to Erica and they, basically, they get her to agree to not use the veto, even though she will go up if the veto is used. She willingly agrees, I won't use the veto on Jack, I promise. It'll keep her off the block initially, even though that was never the plan. And when she talks to Jack, she's concerned that if Jack wins and uses the veto, that she will go up in his place. And so Jack actually says to Erica, if I win the veto, I'm going to be gunning for the veto so Nathan doesn't win it. But if I win the veto, I won't use it. As long as I'm sure that Nathan is leaving, I won't use it so that you don't go up on the block instead of me, Erica. And he's going to confirm that again later in the week before the veto competition. So if Jack had won, he would not have used it, or at least so he says, prior to the veto.
But it's not going to matter because... like I said before, right, this veto is not the one that an yes. individual person by themselves can really win.
But this, like, I just trying to provide yeah, some extra context, that's some good. Extra sort of details from the feeds here.
Erica has no incentive to not try to win the veto and take Jack off.
Exactly.
I mean, especially if she is perfectly happy with Allison going home.
And so, here's some more. Erica and Jack, they are under the false impression that Allie is the next target after Nathan, even after the nominations. They are under this impression that, the Stooges have convinced them it's Nathan. He's the more dangerous one, but then we're going to go after Allie. And they actually think that that's true, even though the reality of the situation is that Nathan is this week's target, but Jack is actually the next week's target. They really want Jack out soon. In particular, Justin feels like Jack needs to go because they can't let him slide to the end like that Dr. Will did in season two.
Jack winning this season. That'd be funny.
Yeah. So that's about where the house was prior to the nominations. The nominations are made and we head into episode 16 where we get some fallout from the nominations. Nathan again, he's going to apologize to Jack. Look, I'm sorry I used the veto. I screwed everything up. I regret it. It sucks.
Yeah. He blames Allie for being in this position, and Allie, on the other hand, is going to just be super cutthroat and saying, yeah, Nathan was stupid to save me, but I don't care. I'm still here. It benefited me. It doesn't mean I'm going to help him out.
Yeah, I don't care if it was the wrong move for him. I'm still here. So yeah. Deal with it. She's pissed at him for a while here that he would dare say that it was a mistake to save her. He says that he's going to tell her that I basically gave you like $20,000 because I got you sequestered. I got you to the sequester. That's what they call the jury house at this time, because there's not really a jury house. It's just I got you sequestered, and it's a big deal because you get paid.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is not something that is going to change in later seasons. And just getting to jury to get more money is going to be something we're going to just keep seeing in Big Brother. Yeah. But at this point, Allison, like, she could also just say, well, you know, Nathan, it's sad you're going home, but at least you're sequestered.
Yeah. We're gonna find out that G brushes his teeth weird.
Yeah, brushes his teeth a lot, and he organizes his clothes weird, apparently.
Spends 10 minutes brushing his teeth. Because at first I was like, they were like, oh, he like brushes each, like the front five times, and then the bottom, and then the back sides of them five times. And I was like, that just sounds like normal brushing to me. But then he said it takes him 10 minutes, and I was like, is he exaggerating, or is he just a bad toothbrusher?
I mean, I'm not going to say that people, I think most people probably brush their teeth not enough. So
exactly. That's what I'm wondering. Is G actually a weird toothbrusher, or is Justin, I believe Justin was the one making fun of him, or is Justin a bad toothbrusher who doesn't brush enough?
I'm sure that Justin is a bad toothbrusher considering how he handles his clothes and other hygiene aspects. I think that's much more likely. I'm on G's side. G, brush teeth for however much you want. Organizing your clothes sounds like a really good idea. Keeps everything neat and handy.
Yeah. And then, but then they said that he's in the shower for like an hour and a half.
And well, again, that like, could mean lots of things.
That just feels like you're exaggerating. Is that true?
I don't think anyone could be in the shower for an hour and a half unless they're just completely okay with cold water. I'm sure exactly. In the Big Brother house, they do not have just unlimited hot water.
And I know how live feeders work. I feel like if G actually spent an hour and a half in the shower every time he went in there, I'd hear about it more when I'm reading about the live feeds.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I bet it's like 15 minutes. I bet June just takes 1 minute showers.
Exactly. June has a take on this. She says that G has so many issues in his life that he needs control. And that's why he is so neat.
That's a very base level psychological thing to say. So okay.
I just feel like, look, it is weird for somebody to be neat in the Big Brother house. They're usually very messy. But June herself talks about how she's a neat freak. So, I don't know where this is coming from.
It's just a fun soundbite for June to say. Yeah. Yeah. Allie has no remorse for getting rid of Dana over Justin. It's like we get one fun clip and then we'll have just Allison and Nathan talking again, him being annoyed. And she's like, yeah, you know, obviously I'm going to get rid of the person who's coming after me and not Justin just because you don't like him.
Well, it's almost like she's speaking to herself in the past, because we opened the last episode with her feeling very guilty about Dana. And now she says, I have no remorse about Dana. I think it's a glimpse into the psychology of Allie, who is also the person who is like, guess I should have broke up with my boyfriend. He's also the best thing that's ever happened to me. He better be with me when I get out of here. I hope they're portraying him like a villain if he's already broken up with me.
Oh my gosh. yes. Him being a villain and not you.
We talked about this last week that I was surprised that he's, you know, filled out the, that he's signed the whatever form. That allows people to talk about him, and they actually talked about it on the feeds this week. They were like, yeah, he signed the thing, so they're allowed to talk about him or portray him however they want. So I hope that he's a villain if he broke up with me. If not, I hope he's being portrayed well.
Oh my gosh. This is something that almost everyone in the show, I mean, we said Erica, Jack, June, and Allison, I think, also do this. They just want to come across like more cutthroat and gamey than they actually are all the time. You know, June's going to talk about how she hates when people cry, but then she's going to also cry. Erica and Jack just speak as if they completely know what the best thing to do at all times is, even though they have no power. And then Allison is always going to, you know, you rarely see her saying in the diary rooms that she's upset or sad about the decision she makes. That Dana moment was like pretty much the only one. Otherwise, she's like very cutthroat and gamey.
Yeah. Well, Erica misses the news.
Yeah, I thought this was going to go somewhere. Then
I think that there were some things, right? So like they're talking about Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Remember Sammy Sosa?
Yeah.
They're talking about Shaq. This new guy, Shaq.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about Kobe.
Yes.
Being a family man.
Yeah.
Now this, of course, is, I believe the rape allegations came out, right after they started playing the game. And so they were playing this as like dramatic irony that they're talking about Kobe as a family man. And now it has another layer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about it more through like today's lens on it. I don't know. They do this every once in a while in the Big Brother house where they talk about stuff that's going on outside of the game and wondering what's happening. And I think also just being in quarantine right now, like it made me think about the seasons of Big Brother that we're on, you know, this winter and like how there are. 2003 was not necessarily the biggest time to be missing things happening out in the real world.
Well, I think you usually always feel like it's the biggest time to be missing things.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Is it? I mean, at least some of
the time
stuff,
they talked about Iraq. They
yeah.
were like, you know, what could be happening? Like, it was, you know, it's times are always scary, I think.
Yeah.
When you're living them.
Yeah, it's weird. And that's something that just the length of the game Big Brother really allows for missing that kind of stuff from the outside world. And especially in these early seasons, that was like a really big deal. I mean, especially in Big Brother 2, about like things that were happening that people are missing out on. And I definitely think it hits harder some seasons rather than others. Some it's just kind of like, oh, did Kim Kardashian had her baby or whatever. And then sometimes it's much more impactful.
Yeah. Another thing that's impactful is that Justin's shorts.
This was disgusting.
Quite smelly. Yeah.
It was really gross. Yeah, he wears his shorts and he works out in them, and then occasionally he'll jump in the pool or the hot tub and he just doesn't wash them. Sometimes he'll just sort of rinse them in a bucket and then hang them outside over chairs to dry.
Yeah, look, it's really hard, you know, having to wash with the, you know, washing thing.
You have nothing to do. Like, you have so much free time. Just wash your clothes.
He's busy. He's busy, you know, being the dream team.
I'm surprised, honestly, that G or someone else didn't just wash the shorts. Like, I don't think I could be around someone who smells like that all the time, who doesn't wash their clothes for weeks on end.
Yeah. He caught wind of the fact that people were talking about this in the diary room and he got kind of annoyed.
Well, it's your own fault.
And then, so by the time Julie brings it up, he was like, ah, And yes, very much your fault, Justin. So they have a luxury competition. This is going to be quite a scandalous one. They have to take off their bathing suits in a big vat of bubbles. And the goal is to sort of hang up the bathing suits in a particular order to spell whatever it was. Although Jack says that the goal of the competition was to look at three naked women.
Yeah. And he says he succeeded. Yeah. I also like when Jack says, I felt safe standing up because I knew nobody was looking at me.
He also says he went tush hunting.
Jack, not necessarily the least. He's not the most problematic person on the show, but he's not the least either. There's a lot of weird things that he says.
I just feel like this is not a very appropriate competition that I hope everyone, you know, gave their consent to participate in this competition.
Yeah, I mean, especially with it being filmed, like, I don't know. I wonder if that's a thing on the Big Brother contract that you have to sign, like, would be okay getting naked in a competition.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think you really can give great consent to participate in this competition. Like, if you're on a show like this and they tell you this is what we're doing, are you okay with it? Like, there's a lot of sort of power imbalance there. Like, they should be made comfortable to be able to turn this sort of thing down in a way where it doesn't seem like they're going to get in trouble for it, either by their fellow house guests or by production in any way. And I feel like, especially back in 2003, that was probably not the case at the time.
And especially the fact that this is a team competition where they all have to participate together. If this was something where, okay, if you individually want laundry service, then you can participate, but you're welcome to sit out, or if it's like, there's two ways of doing this competition, the slow way or the fast way. And if you do it the slow way, then you can remain clothed. But if you do it the fast way, you can get naked. Like, I think there are other options.
And at the very least, they should be given peanut butter.
Sure. Sure. I think that there are similar competitions we've seen to this where you have to, like, take off your clothes and swap it with someone else. And I like that a little better, at least, because you're only naked for a short period of time. But
and there's also, like, less contact. This was just a big orgy of bubbles, really.
Yeah, it was a little bit odd. Yeah, there's a lot of talk from people about Nathan saying, you know, yeah, I was just standing up and hanging my shorts up, and I look to the side, and there's Allison completely naked. I look in the front, and June's bouncing up and down doing her thing, and then I looked over there, and there's Erica. Yeah, it was weird.
Nathan was actually also very uncomfortable in this competition. He was the women were really trying hard to get glimpses of him, and he was trying to hide both his face and his other parts at times, or at least one at a time. I don't think that they enjoyed this very much. At least most of them didn't.
I could also mention how it's a little bit of a gender unfairness in this competition.
More things to cover up.
Yeah. Anyway, but they win laundry service.
There you go.
So it was worth it, I guess. And then they eat Subway.
They eat Subway and they talk about fashion. Who has the worst sense of fashion in the house, Mary?
Well, this is going to come up more in the season. And I think that there are multiple people who I think have terrible fashion in this house. I'd say it's somewhere between, Erica's fashion is odd. It's like she's clearly trying to be fashionable and thinks that she has a particular fashion sense. And then, like, a lot of the pieces are just weird. But I am also not a fan of June's, like, mesh top that she wears all the time. So there is that as well. I mean, I don't know. There's fashion being dated, and then there's the pink, like, newsboy hat that Erica keeps wearing.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a difference between this was 2003 and they made some daring choices, and everybody unanimously saying, no, it's definitely Erica that has the worst fashion sense.
But I mean, and I love this, that Erica thinks she has great fashion, but, like, she has these, like, lime green pants and lots of, like, pink sweatsuits and the pink hat and the pink boots. I think I had a Polly Pocket that had a lot of these same clothes. Like, this was a fashion somewhere, just not what I normally saw in people.
Well, she says it's J-Lo's fashion. She wants to be J-Lo. That's what she says. She's trying to be J-Lo.
There's worse people to try and copy, so that's fine. But
sure, but
it's not exactly pulling it off. Here's the thing. I have no fashion sense. And, like, my sister is always getting on me about some of the things that I wear that she doesn't necessarily like. But at least I'm not on TV. I feel like if I was to go on Big Brother, I feel like I would have to go out and, like, buy new clothes so that I could feel accepted.
Well, here's the thing. If you went on Big Brother, you would not go into the diary room and say, I think I have the best fashion sense in the house.
Maybe I would, just to be fun. But maybe if I thought I'd get a segment out of it.
Yeah. Well, the veto competition is going to be Corridor, the game Corridor. And
have you played this game?
Have I played this game? No, yeah. But I've heard of it.
Yeah. So earlier, I think it was actually in the previous episode, there was a shot that was clearly slightly out of order where I think it was in the right before they did the food competition. And I saw G and Justin or somebody playing Corridor. And I'm like, since I know they normally have chess, but since when did they get Corridor? They've given them board games? Then my question was answered this episode. But Corridor is a great game. It's really fun. It was really big. Back in my day in like elementary school, I remember we used to have like a board game fair where one night a year you would go to the school and they'd have all these tables set up with new board games. You could play them and then buy the new games. And that was one of them. One year it was the game of the year. It's great.
Wow.
Time. Terrible veto competition, but like great game.
Yeah. Well, of course, Justin is very good at the game. He always wins.
Well, he's the brains.
Exactly. Then we get into some more Allie and Nathan that he's on the block and it's she's like now that he's on the block, it's like piss on Allie. And he's mad that she's playing both sides. And, you know, if you had a deal with Justin, then I got played.
It's really hard for Nathan to accept the fact that he got played, I think.
Yeah. The Stooges are practicing how to play Corridor to make sure Nathan doesn't win. And Nathan doesn't want to practice. He says, I win the competitions that I don't practice for, so I'm not going to practice.
This is one of those things, kind of like chess, where especially if you think that it might be the way it's going to be, where it's four people playing at one time, you need to practice. You need to test out some different strategies. You need to try some things to try and trip people up. You're still probably not going to win. You could try.
This is the same as people who go into Big Brother thinking, I don't want to watch any seasons. I don't want to study the game at all. I don't want to have anything to interfere with my own natural instincts that are amazing. I'm going to do so well. And then they go into the house and they have no idea what they're doing.
Well, and like, I don't think that you should watch every season and try to formulate a plan before you get in the house of exactly how you want to play the game. But come up with some general strategies. And if they're going to give you an opportunity in the game to practice for a competition, especially one that you need to win, Nathan, then take all the opportunity you can.
Yeah. So they start playing the veto. And the first round is June, Robert, and Justin against Nathan. It's 3-on-1, basically. June was saying that I wanted to prove that I was strong with them, so I wanted to, you know, do my best to help them win this. And of course, it's, you know, not exactly in her best interest for Nathan to win either. And so they're going to basically make it impossible for Nathan to win, and Robert's going to win this first matchup.
Yep. So he moves on to the finals. Match two is Allison, Jack, Erica, and G. And Nathan is really yelling at Allison a lot through this game, trying to get her to play a particular way. But it's all for naught, and G's going to win this round.
Yeah. And again, like, the thing is here that this one actually wasn't too imbalanced, that if Erica and Jack work together, then you've basically got a 2-on-1 situation. And it's not like Allie was working with G, right? So they weren't, a united front, which means that if Erica and Jack had been a united front, then they could have done something here to probably win this round and get Erica to win it. And then it's Erica versus Robert in round in the finals. And, you know, I don't think that Robert's exactly the most strategically sound player in the world. I think that Erica has a shot at beating Robert in the final two of the competition, which means that Erica could have won this and then taken Jack down. And now all of a sudden it's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, but like you had mentioned earlier, they had already struck that deal so that she wasn't exactly going to win. So
that's the problem.
Yeah,
it's just like it's a missed opportunity here, as Erica is going to basically work to prevent Jack from winning, which she didn't even need to do because he didn't even plan on using the veto on himself if he had won. So she basically tanked both of their chances of winning the veto, and basically assured that Nathan would be the one going home. Although, again, it actually came pretty close to Jack being the one that went home. So pretty bad move overall.
Yep, not great. Then Robert and G play, and Robert's going to win, so he's got the veto.
And I'm having deja vu, because this is exactly what happened last week. It came down to G and Robert in the veto, where you're able to eliminate other people, and G gave it to Robert, which I assume is basically what they did here. They said they had fun with it, but we know that G did not want anything to do with the veto last week. I can't imagine that he wanted anything to do with it this week. G is definitely a bit more savvy than he's been portrayed so far, and so it would not surprise me if he threw this one again to Robert,
the international player.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, Jack was very upset about this veto competition. He said this was rigged for you know, to get Nathan out, and it wasn't fair, which, like, not necessarily rigged, but like not terrible arguments, in the sense that the last two veto competitions have both made it impossible for the person on the block to win the veto, or really anybody willing to use the veto. It made it impossible for them to win the veto. Really helps the people who want to keep the people on the block, which is not exactly the right strategy if you're production and you want the veto to be used to shake things up.
In general, I like when they occasionally do have these types of challenges. Having so many in this same sort of section of the season is kind of a lot, but I kind of like them better as HOH competitions, because you can, I like challenges where your social game matters, but I also feel like if you're on the block, you should be given an equal opportunity to be able to get yourself off by the veto. And that's not the case when you basically have a team-based veto. It's not really an individual competition here.
My favorite version of these style of competitions, I think there was either one in Big Brother 6 or Big Brother 7. There might have been one in both. But basically, I think Big Brother 6, where if you had to put pieces of candy in each, there were six players, obviously, in Big Brother 6 for the veto, and each person had a pinata, and you had to put pieces of candy in a player's pinata. You had a certain amount of pieces of candy, and it was like whoever gets the most amount of candy in their pinata without going over a certain number wins the veto. And nobody wanted James to win the veto, but nobody was on the same page about how to strategize for this competition. And so some people put none in James's pinata, and some people put like a bunch in James's pinata, and he actually ended up winning the thing, even though everyone was trying to conspire against him, which I thought was a great outcome for a competition like this, where the odds are really against you, but there's still a chance for them to screw up and gift you the veto. I feel like that's the kind of thing that is the correct way to structure a competition like this, whereas, you know, a game like Corridor or, you know, the Battleship, which was essentially what it was last week, basically gives no chance at all for the people don't want to win the veto.
Yeah, I think I just don't like it when you can so obviously team up against someone. Like you're saying with the candy one, when you have to pre-strategize, that's one thing, but when you're in the game and you, like, if they did the candy one but they were allowed to all talk to each other,
yeah,
then that would be unfair, and that's more like what this is.
Yeah, so Robert has won his second veto in a row. Veto King Robert And he, Allie's going to pitch for Nathan to stay. She actually is going to make a bit of a pitch here. She says that she does think he'd stick to his word. She thinks that, you know, Jack and Erica will still be after, Justin. And so there might actually be some cause to keeping, some reason to keep Nathan around. But Nathan doesn't care, doesn't like it. He still feels like Allie put him in this spot. Anytime he tries to talk to her about, like, hey, this is your fault, he feels like she's turning it around on him, like it's his fault. Like, she says that he lives in a fantasy world at home, and
yeah, Mr. Perfect Oklahoma or whatever she said.
Never have to like face any kind of adversity. And so, you know, you're not getting your way and it's, you know, causing you to act out. You're acting childish. And he's like, well, just don't come to me when you need help again. And she's like, you're such a child.
Yeah, you know. Storms off, sleeps in another bed.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a mess.
I mean, the argument of Allie, I'm annoyed at you because when I come to, and try to blame everything on you, you turn it around back on me. How about you guys stop trying to just blame each other and get on the same page and see if there's anything you can do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So there's a lot that happens on the feeds. I'm going to get into some of it now, and then some of it we see a little bit of in the following episode, even though it took place before the veto meeting. Allie is, in fact, of course, trying to float. There's basically, you know, two sides of the house. There's the Stooges, and then there's Erica and Jack, and for now, Nathan. And she spends some time, you know, trashing the Stooges to Nathan, letting Nathan know that she's still trashing the Stooges. Also, you know, trashing Nathan to the Stooges, of course. She also is going to let Erica know, because Erica and Jack, if you remember from when we were talking earlier, that they are under the false impression that Allie is going to be the next target by the Stooges. Allie lets them know, though, that's not true. They're not coming after me. They're coming after Jack. Jack is the next target, which is the truth. But Erica and Jack don't know what to believe. They think, well, obviously Allie doesn't know that she's the next target and she might be lying to us. So I don't know if we can believe her. But they do think they are believing that Allie will target the Stooges, even though she's hanging out with them. And that's why they think the Stooges are still coming after Allie. They think that, okay, she's in bed with them right now because they're in power. But when they're not in power, she will go after them. And they know that. And so they're going to go after her. That's kind of how they see it right now. And so in order to get to the bottom of it, they want to ask June, who are the Stooges really targeting? Because June won't lie to us. And so June has been also this week starting. She's been feeding information to both sides as well. A little bit more low key than Allie at first. And she is letting him know, like, anytime Nathan makes a pitch, June goes and tells Erica and Jack about it, because Nathan's not telling them because he's pitching that he's going to go after them. And so she's letting them know, oh, he's pitching that he's going to go after you. And they're like, oh, thanks for letting us know, June. And so June and G are secretly communicating a lot. They are working pretty closely together. They secretly both want Allie to be next, not Jack. G actually is more on board with June, seemingly, than he is with the Stooges, where the Stooges want Jack out next. G actually wants Allie to go with June because Allie is the only person in the house that has really been outwardly talking about June and G secretly working together. There's concern that she knows about them. She's going to out them. She's going to cause them to be targeted. And so they want her gone. And they're concerned about her staying in the house. G is worried that Robert might be doing the same thing they're doing and secretly working with Erica. And he thinks that if Robert doesn't want Erica gone before even Jack, then that's probably confirmation that he has some kind of secret deal with her, just like he has one with June. They're really hoping that they can get Allie out soon. And they are, you know, G is not quite the blindly loyal stooge that the show is making him out to be.
No, but I do feel like all of the Stooges are doing the same thing, which is they want to be loyal to each other, but they also want to be the last Stooge left with their ex still in the game working with them, because then right. They have that power as well.
Well, we will get into a little bit more later as well. June is going to tell people. So we talked about June's goodbye message to Dana. I don't know if this is true because she's telling it to other people, but June actually said on the feeds at one point, oh, wait, they show the goodbye messages to people when they get evicted? What?
That does make a little bit more sense.
I was really mean in all of mine.
Yeah, particularly the one to Dana, who's on the jury.
Exactly. And so it kind of does make sense. We're going to watch her goodbye message to Nathan, which is a lot sweeter, I guess, than her previous ones. You mentioned that when I talked about how Nathan talked about wanting a blonde virgin as his why didn't he go after Michelle? Well, actually, he is going to be pining after Michelle all week long. He's saying that, oh, man, I wish I had talked to her more after the show. We're totally going to date. It's going to be great.
Wow, he really missed that shot. I mean, here's the thing. This season, I think, is good because of the way it works out. If there's a different universe where Nathan teams up with Michelle instead of Allison, doesn't use the veto on her, she goes home, yada, yada, this is a much worse season.
Yeah. So there's a whole big blow up that we're going to actually see in the next episode. So I'm going to skip over that. But sort of the result of it, or at least part of the result of it, is that Allie and June, the tensions between the two of them are escalated even more. They're really gunning for each other. June is going to go to Justin and, she tries to turn him against Allie again because she had done it before and sort of failed. And so she's talking to him about saying that Allie definitely is working with Justin. I know it for a fact. And she thinks that she has you wrapped around her finger. You cannot trust her. I'm telling you, she has been playing you all along. And this is the conversation. She actually prompts Nathan to get to the episode where we see Nathan pitching to June that Allie should be on the block next to him. This is actually Nathan saying, I'm not wrapped around her finger. In fact, I want her on the block. I want her gone. And then June acts like she just got convinced. Right. But she was actually the one that prompted him to do this in the first place.
Yeah. It's some great, 4D chess going on from June here. I do feel like, while this kind of thing can occasionally work, and it's, various tactics from June and Nathan are going to almost work in this set of episodes, I do think that, like, a lot of the time, trying to just convince someone who's got a secret partner to go against them, in the end, when that person's the one with the power, it's harder to make it happen. Like, I don't think that someone could, I don't think this would work on June. I don't think that June would be convinced even if G had gone against her in certain things. I don't think she's going to make that type of decision.
Well, not right now. So Nathan is going to pitch this to June after June prompts him to. Then June runs and pitches the idea to the Stooges. And I think if you're a careful observer of the episodes, you probably could tell that June was very excited about this idea. It's basically because it was her idea. and so she pitches it to them and says that, Allie is telling the other side that she's coming for you, Justin. So, maybe this is something that we should consider. But ultimately it's not something that was very much in consideration. Nathan and Jack are both still big targets for the Stooges. Robert never really considered using the veto. And so we get to the veto meeting and he decides not to use the veto. He says that you two are the strongest players in the house, and so I'm not going to use it.
Yep. Doesn't happen. Jack and Nathan basically both tell him that they're going to respect whatever decision he makes. It's a whole lot of kind of nonsense. They don't really try to sway him a lot. And yeah, doesn't use it. And that's brings us to the end of episode 16.
And Erica says, how dare he not use the veto? That was a terrible move.
par for the course.
So funny enough, after June brings this pitch that she goaded out of Nathan to get Allie on the block, and Justin and the Stooges say, no, that's ridiculous, we'd never do that, she joins in making fun of Nathan for even considering such a dumb idea. She's like, yeah, he is such an idiot, I can't believe he thought that would work. Why didn't it work? And so this does, however, she has actually got them thinking a little more. She has kind of talked them into considering targeting Allie instead of Jack next week, that they really are starting to not trust Allie with all of the things that she's been saying, that June has been running back to them. She's really trying to get them on board with the idea that let me take Allie out. And so June, basically, the Stooges agree, if June wins the HOH, she's going to go after Allie. And you know what? We'll let her. We'll take out Allie. If June wins, we'll just let it happen. If Allie wins HOH, we're going to have to lie to Allie and tell her that we're voting June out. But then once we don't go on the block next to June, we're going to vote out whoever she puts next to June. And so they are more siding with June than they are with Allie, and they are willing to let her go, even though they're not quite actively targeting her yet. And so it's at this point that June has sort of usurped Allie she's at least ahead of Allie in the Stooges department. And she's going to be now working on the Erica and Jack side so that June can usurp Allie as the ultimate floater in the house.
Yes. And while I'm going to give June a bit of credit for being able to do that, I think a lot more of it has to be said, like, this is an anti-credit towards Justin and Robert, who, if they were playing as well as G was also, would be not accepting this, and they should want their ex to be in that position.
Yes, and we will see a little bit of resistance from Robert a little bit later, but the problem that Robert and Justin have is that they really blindly trust G. They really don't think that G would ever do anything against them, and they are incorrect.
Yeah, and we're going to get a lot of that from Justin in the next episode, too.
So we head into episode 17. The eviction episode for week 5, and we get a bit of campaigning it's like, how did the Stooges get here anyway? They were supposed to go week 1, and now we were week 5, and they're still in the house, and they're in power, and they've got numbers. What happened?
You guys made a series of dumb decisions, and then they won some crucial competitions. That's what happened.
Yeah. Allie says that she wants to let them continue to pick people off, and then she will turn on them. So, like, they'll get out Jack and Erica and Nathan and June, and then she'll turn on them. Except that leaves all of them, and just leaves the three of them and you, right? Like, I'm not sure what her plan is here.
To win out in the end. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting to see Allison and June going after each other so much, considering the fact that they're going to make it to the end together, because in a lot of ways for them, I think that getting to the end together is better for them than one of them getting with the Three Stooges, probably.
Oh, yeah.
So it's interesting. I think they have reasons for going after each other, but long term, you got to think about where you're at. It's really interesting to see what was the main, you know, original Elite Eight alliance completely crumble because of all of this. But it's exciting. I like it.
Yeah.
You gotta have the foils. You gotta have these three guys buffooning their way through the show in order to make it exciting.
Yes. There's a lot of talk about jury votes throughout the season as well, that once we hit jury, at least, where the Stooges, and Justin in particular, essentially talk a lot about how you can't piss us off because the three of us plus Dana make up the jury, make up the majority of the jury. So if we all lose and we're in the jury, then that's four votes, and you will lose the game. So don't piss us off. Or at the very least, you know, there will be three of us in the jury. And he also talks about, like, one of the reasons why he ultimately decides against keeping Nathan is that he's worried that he'll piss Dana off and that Dana won't vote for them if they make it to the end. So there's a lot of, like, you know, this, like, very active jury strategy in the house. And I think, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the outcome of the previous season.
And I think a lot of that is going to result in June's success, because in that way you want to be you. That is the one good side of being the last person, the fourth person in this Three Stooges alliance here, is that if they are all on the jury, then you're probably going to win.
Yes, as long as you haven't betrayed them.
No, true. Or you just haven't. You can't betray them more. The most. You got to betray them the least.
Yes. So some drama happens here. So basically, there's a bit of an exchange that happens. We see on the show that Allie tells Nate that Justin told him not to be a baby, and then Nathan comes in and confronts Justin about it, and then Nathan is mad at June. And I feel like you don't quite understand what goes on here. So I'm going to try to fill in some of the blanks that June has been working on Erica, and telling her, Jack is the next target. So Jack and Erica do go to June, and she does tell them, no, that's right. Jack is the next target for the Stooges. They need to be broken up. And she's also actually been working on Nathan again, trying to turn Nathan against Allie. So there's a lot of stuff June is doing that's like kind of impressive, but also like a lot. Like, she's doing a lot, and a lot of it's not necessary, like working on Nathan and turning him against Allie, which actually almost backfires and almost means that Nathan ends up staying. But also, it's dangerous to try to turn Nathan against Allie, because he is wrapped around her finger, and he goes and he talks to Allie about things that June told him about Allie. And Allie says, oh, no, I'm not the one playing both sides. June is the one playing both sides. She's a snake. She is lying to you. And so Nathan got upset with June, thinking that June was the one playing him. And there's all these confrontations. You see that Allie is going to again talk to Justin, and then we see Justin, Nathan, he's stopping baby, and Allie runs to Nathan, tells Nathan about it. He confronts Justin, and he blames June for causing all of this, and says that she's a snake, and that she can't be trusted. But the Stooges believe it's more Allie than June. They're more annoyed with Allie, because this made it clear that Allie has been running information back and forth. Even when Allie tries to convince Justin that G and June are secretly working together, he says, I don't believe it. I trust G. And I promise you, Allie, June will be the first to go after Erica and Jack. But when he's talking to the Stooges, he says, no, it's not June, it's Allie. Allie needs to be the first to go. She is too dangerous. She is running around. She's trying to play both sides. June is a little more trustworthy than Allie. And so, there's this whole big mess. However, another aspect of this is that, Erica and Jack did see that both Allie and June were running back and forth, and they got a little concerned. They were like, are neither of these people on our side? I guess, do we have to win HOH? Because we were hoping to let other people win HOH and do the dirty work, but I think we might need to win.
In order to let other people win and do the dirty work, you need to have actual alliances with other people. They've secluded themselves so much, and they're really... Like, there are some good things about being the undercover, the quiet person just listening and kind of skating by through the game, but you need to have some agency, and they are finally realizing that they don't really have any, while these other two girls are off fighting the battle of who could be the biggest floater.
Exactly. And so June is going to the Stooges and saying, just so you know, Erica and Jack do plan on coming after you, despite what they're trying to tell you. She works on Erica and says that Jack is the next target for the Stooges. She says that Allie is not trustworthy. You can't tell her anything. She'll run everything back to the Stooges and tell Justin. She has a deal with Justin. Then June goes to Allie and tells Allie, hey, the Stooges don't trust you, and they've talked to me about wanting you out next because Erica and Jack are weaker, and that they might actually come for you. Then she goes to G and says, hey, Erica told me that the Stooges want Allie to win so that they'll get rid of her. And G is like, what? Why is Erica trying to stir up trouble? Then she goes to Robert. This is all within a couple of hours in a day, by the way. She goes to Robert and says, hey, Allie told me that she's after Justin. She's trying to get Justin out. And Erica and Jack are trying to pull me in so that I'll go after Allie. And that makes Robert pissed at Allie. And then she goes to G again and she says, okay, here's what we should do. Let's throw the HOH to Erica or Jack so that they win and take out Justin for us. If we do that, then like Justin will leave and we'll be in a better spot and we won't have to do it. We should throw the HOH to them. He says, that's a good idea. So then she goes to Jack and she says, look, I'm trying to trick G into throwing the HOH to us so that we can take out Justin. And then they talk about making a final four of Erica, June, G, and Jack. So she goes to G and she says, what do you think about this final four? And he's like, I'm down. That sounds good to me. Then she goes to Justin and Robert and says that Jack approached her about a final four deal. And he tried to get her and G to throw the next HOH so they could take out Justin. But her and G said, no, how dare they? Oh, the gall of Jack. I can't believe he would dare try to. He thinks that G and June were going to turn on Justin. Oh, what an idiot.
I like all of this up until that point, because in the off chance that Jack and Erica do win HOH, whether you throw it or not, that's pretty good, like for G and June. Then they've made this deal, they've got that, everything's good. But then she just outed herself for that potential option, so that if that does happen, you can't easily, you know, work with them, or they're gonna think that you made the deal anyway.
Yeah, and because like I said, it's a lot. Like, she's doing a lot, and so yeah. At this point in the game, they're willing to accept, okay, June is playing both sides, but she's a little bit more on our side, and we're gonna help her play both sides for our benefit. But Robert and Justin aren't fully on the June train. They think that they can trust her for now, but long term, she's not super trustworthy. That was June's day following the veto ceremony.
Hey, you know what? That smaller table, it flipped a switch.
It did. It really did. So on the episode, Nathan, we're going to see Nathan go to Justin to pitch against Allie again. And in the episode, again, it looks like they're considering it. And I can confirm that they really were heavily considering this. In this conversation on the feeds, Justin confirmed to Nathan, finally, Nathan now knows with certainty, yes, I have had a secret deal with Allie since the beginning of the game. And Nathan just really plays up this, oh my God, I can't believe it. Allie has been playing us against each other this whole game. She's been telling me that I need to take you out. She's been telling you that you need to take me out. I can't believe I fell for it. I'm such an idiot. Just if you take out Jack and you keep me, then I will join the Stooges. I will be with you now. The only reason I wasn't with you guys is because Allie got in my head. And so I can be with you guys. I'll take out Erica and Allie and June, and it'll be us guys. Let's go. And Justin likes this pitch. He goes and he talks to June, G, and Robert about it. And he pitches it like, I think we should do this. But of course, June and G push back pretty hard, because they have a secret agenda, which is they actually secretly want Justin gone. They don't want Nathan here. They don't want Nathan around. They want Jack and Erica to be in the game so that they can win an HOH and take Justin out for them. So they push back pretty hard. They don't think it's a good idea. Robert is also not super convinced. He thinks, what's stopping Nathan from just turning around and stabbing us in the back and lying to us? I think you got to take out the strong player while you have the chance.
I don't think Robert wants another strong guy in his alliance.
Well, here's the thing. Robert was disgusted that he can't believe two ladies made it to the end in the last season. We can't let that happen this season.
Oh, no, that would be the worst thing.
The worst.
He's so terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin really, I mean, not Justin, Robert really not on the side of what what people like on the show. And very, I think very few There's probably some fans, but I think very few fans just love when, like, you got like a guy squad that all gets together at the beginning and then bros out for the entire season. And there's definitely some seasons where that happens and it's fun and there's other elements to that. But we certainly don't want that every season either. I think you got it. The whole point is that you need a mix every season, different things to happen and different people to get to the end. And we're only on season four. Like, it's okay that we've had some different formats for the first two seasons of Big Brother here.
Yeah.
So Justin says, he says to them, like, look, I think he would be with us. This poor guy has been brainwashed by Allie. I think he'll actually be cool with us. But if you guys don't agree, like, I'm willing to let this one go. But he did promise Nathan that he would let him pitch to all three of the Stooges at once. Nathan pitches the same thing again to all three of them. And afterward, they talk again without June this time. And so without June there to push back, and having heard Nathan's pitch firsthand, Robert actually is coming around to the idea at least a little bit. He says, look, you know what? If you want to go this way, like, you're the HOH, you can make the call. Like, I'll be fine with it. But G still pushes back. He's like, I don't think it's the right call to make. Justin says, I don't want to make that call if you're not all on board, so I guess we won't do it. And so they decide against it, but they came pretty close at this point. And afterwards, G runs to let June know, like, it's okay, we're all good. He's not doing it. And then June, of course, then goes and fills Erica and Jack in on everything that happened. That was the Nathan saga. But then after this, Robert actually hears from Nathan about some of the things that June has been telling Nathan about Allie and all of the stuff that June is telling Erica and Jack about some things. And so Robert runs to G and Justin. He's like, I don't think we can trust June. I think she's a snake. I think that she's trying to play both sides. And G actually then rats June out a little bit and says, yeah, she did actually tell me that I should throw the HOH. She didn't say no, actually. And so they are now pretty heavily on to June at this point. And Allie's going to tell them that, hey, June is trying to convince me that you guys are going to come after me. And they go, wow, June is really trying to play both sides, but she's doing it very poorly. And they again consider, what if we flip the vote then? Like, what if we do go with this and keep Nathan around? I think that this could work for us, right? But they're still not sure. And ultimately what they decide is, well, this is because they thought they were going to vote on Tuesday, which is when they usually vote. But they didn't vote and they were told that they're not going to vote until the live show. And this is very new to them. And so they go, you know what? If we get to see what the HOH is, if the HOH is something physical, we're going to keep, we'll keep Nathan. If it's not something physical, then we'll vote him out. And Robert actually goes as far as to tell Allie, vote to keep Nathan if it's a physical HOH. And that's basically where they stand when the vote comes.
So the thing is, if you're turning on June and therefore not wanting to do what June wants, which is to get rid of Nathan, and therefore keeping Nathan, because you've also decided that you're going to trust Allison more than Nathan, then you're just keeping both Allison and Nathan, who are still going to be against you. Like, I think it's fine. There are ways where you can get the guys to say, okay, keeping Nathan is beneficial for us for particular reasons, and we're going to swing Nathan over to our side and away from Allison, and then we're going to target Allison. But you can't keep both of them. Then you've just completely wasted the week and got rid of Jack.
Well, I mean, Jack was their next target. So I think from Justin's perspective, getting rid of Jack was a good thing because Jack is coming for him. And Jack is a dangerous player to bring to the end. And so he kind of felt like if I keep Nathan, Nathan owes me. Nathan won't come after me. And I'll get rid of one of the people that is coming after me. That only leaves one person left in the game that's actively coming after me. Even Allie is not going to target me, right? She's going to target my allies first. And so from his perspective,
this is fine for Justin. I don't think it's good for G. And then the question here is, where is Robert on this? What is actually the best move for Robert?
I mean, the problem is that, like, Robert is just not a very good player. It's always hard to like look at a player that's like not super self-interested. Like Robert's playing the game for the Stooges for sure. He does have a kind of secret thing with Erica, but like Justin, he's using that to benefit the Stooges as a whole, as opposed to G, who is using it to benefit himself. And they all believe that they're all in 100%, but G is actually not in 100%. So from Robert's perspective here, I think it's a terrible move to keep Nathan in the game. It makes it way more difficult for Robert to be the one to make it to the end and win if Nathan is there also as like a fourth, you know, amigo, which is, you know, one of the names that they think they have. And so I don't think it's a good move for Robert. I think he kind of sees that, but he's willing to let Justin make the move he wants because he doesn't want to do something that's bad for Justin. When Justin is the one in power, right? So like, he's not willing to push hard, super hard against it because, he doesn't want to like be the reason that, his friend makes a bad move.
Yeah, Robert is like you could say, okay, keep Jack because Jack's with Erica. And if Erica's with you, that's not the worst thing for you. But the problem here is that he has the least solidified X's alliance out of all of these, or the least useful one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's not HOH. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. But this is basically where it lands. Like if this had been a physical HOH, Jack might have gone home this week. It really might have happened. They were basically told on the day of the eviction, casual clothes, not athletic gear. And I'm pretty sure that's basically when it was locked in. Okay, Nathan's going.
Yeah. Wow. Nathan, you got a bad luck of the draw there. I don't know. I would consider endurance. It's not really physical.
This
one's more mental.
Yeah, this version of the endurance competition, definitely not physical, but later they're going to change it because it takes too long.
Yes. So we don't really get almost any of all of that on the show that you just talked about. You get a couple random clips of like Justin calling Nathan a baby and Allison telling him that, and then him yelling at June and saying, "You're a snake and you're telling both alliances everything." And then Nathan's going to talk with Justin and say, "Why are we fighting over a girl?" And Justin's going to say that Nathan rubbed people the wrong way by taking Allison off the block. And then they sort of say like, maybe if they keep Justin or if they keep Nathan, he won't put them up next. But we really get just like small clips and not a cohesive idea of what all was really going on.
Yeah. I mean, again, like based on what I've been reading on the feeds, like this week is by far the most complicated week of strategy that they've had on the season so far. And, you know, this early into production on the show, it feels like they don't know how to show a cohesive narrative of all of these different details. There's a lot of complexity and a lot of like threads that don't go anywhere. And I think it's hard to like give a nice through line for that.
Well, especially when you want to do all your fun segments about shorts and Erica's clothes and food competitions.
It doesn't help that all, or most of it came after the veto ceremony as well. So, you know, they had to do it for the live show where they've got their family visits and, you know, other such things.
Do you want to get to the live show?
Yes.
Talk about what they say.
Julie checks in. She calls them the three amigos to their face, but then later is going to call them the Stooges. Julie, so fake.
So fake. Yeah. There's not a lot here that I thought was super interesting. She's going to ask June if the guys handled their power well, and June's going to say they handled it like boys and they left her out sometimes, but they filled her in when it was needed.
Mm-hmm. There's a boys club. She calls out Justin's shorts. Julie does.
And Jack being a strawberry.
And she says to Allie, anything to say to your frequent bedmate?
What is this bedmate? This is like the second time this has come up.
It's really just coming hard for Allie. Especially like last week, Allie was so upset that, that Julie brought up anything to do with her boyfriend. And now, Julie's doing it again.
Yep. So they did that. And
Julie doesn't play. Like,
No, she doesn't. She's not holding any punches. And so, yeah, she says, yeah, I'll miss Nathan if he leaves. He's been great to me in the house. And Erica basically says the same thing about Jack. And he's her father figure. And then we get some, Nathan's family.
Yeah. Nathan's mom. He's got some sisters. His mom says, I think it was his mom. It might've been his sister. The chicks dig the accent.
Yeah.
He's such a stud. He's a great big brother. He was voted most handsome. You know, he's a pretty boy. Also, by the way, just so everyone, so not gay, definitely not gay. He loves the women. He's all about women. Definitely not gay.
Yeah, because that would be just the worst thing to have to come to terms with. Yeah, there's a lot of that. We've got to keep nailing that down. And then they all talk about how that they liked Allison at first, but now they don't like her anymore.
It started romantic, turned brother, sister, and now it's bad with Allie. They don't like her.
Yeah, she's not good. They don't trash her because of her boyfriend, but that would have been a fun thing to add in there. Would have loved to have gotten what their take on that whole situation
was. I mean, Julie
was.
Gets enough digs in, I think.
Yeah. Julie talks with Justin. And this is where we get a whole lot of Justin talking about, like, his alliances with the Stooges. He doesn't even know which one he would take to the end. He just wants to stick with this, with the boys.
He can't choose between his Stooges.
Yeah. Yeah. He has honored his alliance with Allison so far because she didn't put him up on her HOH. And he says basically, you know, they've saved each other. And then if she wins and saves him again, he'll continue to honor it.
Yeah, who knows how long I'll be loyal to Allie. I mean, it's worked out so far, but she's playing both sides and everyone knows. So.
And I think this is the difference between like June and G, whereas if they got this question, I think that they would say, yeah, you know, I'm sticking with the Stooges, but my real alliance is with each other.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know. I don't know if G is like fully loyal to June. It's hard to tell. Cause again, he did rat June out when she got caught a bit. And you know, didn't really defend her, but he also didn't jump in and trash her like everyone else was.
But he's not blindly loyal to the guys. Either.
Right. That's what I mean. I don't think he is necessarily loyal to anyone in the game. Either the Stooges or June. And he's
Does
willing
this
to
mean that
do whatever.
He is in fact an international player.
I think he is, and a little bit of a floater himself, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing a good job. I think underrated G skills this season
for sure. From what I've seen so far, at least.
Yeah.
So
take it week by week.
Yeah, yeah. So we then get a montage here. It's about the three women left in the house.
Yes, June is the queen because she cooks. Allison's the flirt and Erica is the nurturer. Allison says that June is sneaky. Erica says that she's quiet. She's sitting back. But everyone then kind of mentions that they know that she's listening in.
Yeah, June says she's sneaky, but she's a cute sneaky.
Right. Well, yeah. Cute, not hot. Sneaky.
Cute. Yeah. I don't know. Well, look, hot sneaky would be weird.
That would be a little weird. Allison and Erica have an interesting relationship where Erica treats Allison like her sort of younger sister Barbie doll and does all of her hair and makeup and clothes. And both of them basically mention that they're using that relationship to appear nice and to appear friendly.
Yeah, this is one of those things that's like this is why every Big Brother player thinks they're amazing, because they do things like this where they're like, so I'm doing her hair, but secretly I'm just using this to get closer to her. Aren't I brilliant? And the other person's like, so I'm letting her do my hair, but secretly I'm using this. And it's like, no, this is just basic Big Brother interaction. You are not a genius for doing this.
I don't even know if I would say that. I think they're bored. They're doing her hair. Allison's there, lets that happen. And then they're both like, oh, I should probably spin this as if this was gameplay.
I mean, people actively, like, people think about it in this way, I think.
I think they do, but I think that also, like, there are plenty of examples of them not behaving nicely to each other and not, like, trying to, I think that the plan is if you're gonna use this, like, you come in the house, you say, I'm gonna be actively nice and friendly with everyone as a strategy. You can't just pick and choose and get in fights some days and be annoying sometimes and then sometimes be like, oh, but yeah, we had a fight earlier and we're not really on the same page, but I'm going to let her do my hair. And that's the move.
Yes. Robert says Erica doesn't even have a strategy. She only has Jack. That's it. That's all she has. Allie says that she's been using her feminine side since day one. She'll flirt and manipulate anyone. And June says she set the women's movement back 40 years.
Yeah, June does not like that Allison and Erica are always crying. And then, of course, they mash that in with a clip of June crying.
And Allie says, I cry to get my way. So what?
Yeah.
But I love this narrative from Allie as well, that like she's been doing this intentionally since day one. But like, we can rewind the tapes back to day one in the house. That was not really what she was intending to do.
No, not at all. Man, we've come a long way since everyone was saying that Allison was so sweet and innocent day one as well.
Yeah. Justin ruined it, I guess.
Yeah. So Nathan speaks and says that if he leaves, he hopes to be remembered as loyal and trustworthy. And Jack says that he's grateful to be here with all these people and says if he leaves, he knows it'll be strategic and not personal.
And this is the first time their speeches actually matter at all. And they're like the worst ones that we've gotten so far. So
still better than shout outs.
Yeah. So we get to the live vote. First live vote of the season. And everybody evicts Nathan. I did notice that they had Allie be the deciding vote, the one that clinches it here, the third vote out of five for Nathan to go. And by a vote of 5-0, Nathan, you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Interesting week, actually a lot of strategy. And I think that you could look at this, especially if you're just watching the show and not looking at the feeds, and think that it was a boring, straightforward week with people all, you know, unanimous evictions sometimes come across as like, oh, there's not as many dynamics in the house going on, but there actually were. So
yeah, this was definitely a weaker week on the show. From my perspective, reading about the feeds, that's entirely the fault of the editing. That there was plenty of exciting stuff going on in the house, but they were not capable of really showcasing it.
Yeah. Exactly. So Nathan goes out and talks with Julie and
no sympathy votes, Nathan.
No.
How do you feel about that?
He says he was disappointed in Allison, but feels like he understands why she's playing the game the way
she's smart.
Is. And that's really basically the only sympathy vote he could have gotten. I don't think Erica is going to throw him one when Jack's the other option up there.
We'll stay in touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Julie, we'll find out next season.
Yeah, Julie asks him if he would have honored the deals that he was proposing to the Stooges. And he said, I would have. But I was hoping that Erica or Jack would win the HOH, but I wouldn't have come after him.
Yeah. Yeah. So he says that he learned in the house that the most important thing to do is not burn bridges. I think he should have just said the most important thing to do is not make everyone mad by using the veto on a hated person in the house.
He's trying to, you know, round the edges out a little.
Yeah, sure.
Goodbye messages. Yes.
And here's June learning from her mistakes from the previous week.
You were my eye candy. I'm so sad to see you go. This really, again, does kind of support the idea that she wasn't quite aware. She tries. Justin says, look, the pitch was a good one, but I'm only one of four and they weren't convinced. You see this and you're like, is he lying here? He wasn't. This was very genuine. G says, look, the gay jokes, they weren't funny, but I know that you're secure in my manhood and I know you're secure in your manhood. And so am I.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, glad that we got all that.
Allie says, you're one of the most beautiful men I've met in my entire life, and I will so miss you.
Yeah, gives a little smile from that.
Yeah.
So he has no regrets. Second member of the jury.
There it is.
There you go.
He's got to go hang out with Dana.
Yeah. That'll be fun. And then we get one of my favorite style of HOH competitions, at least.
Mm.
The just how much do you want it style.
They're all locked in a cage. There's three cages. I don't know why there have to be three cages, to be honest.
I don't know. I think it'd be cooler if they could make the cage smaller itself, the edges.
Well, that's a lot more work.
Well, sure. But I don't like that they would have to leave a cage and go into another one. So yeah, there's three cages. First cage, they've got the six people in the cage, and then I guess it'll go down to four and then two. No eating, no drinking, no sleeping, and no letting your feet touch the ground. That's the weirdest part, is that it's a cage, but you're standing on like little bars on the bottom of the cage, and there's like big gaps that you could fall through.
Well, you say it's the weirdest part, but I think the reasoning for it, we'll probably find out next week.
Yes, I understand the reasoning behind it, but I feel like there are other ways you could have designed this cage to help with that particular issue.
I guess so. I felt bad for Jack. It's pretty apparent he's the tallest guy left in the house, and he's having to bend over. Like he's too tall for this cage. This is a big disadvantage.
Yeah, you know, on all these reality shows where they have competitions, I really think that they need to be adjusting these based on people's heights.
Yeah, just at least make it tall enough for Jack to stand like everyone else.
What if it was just like the cage was one height, and then in like one corner he was a little bit taller?
Well, then he'd be restricted to one corner.
Okay, it's better though.
I feel like that would be worse if your head was just sticking up in a separate part of the cage.
It would look hilarious. It would be great.
Oh man. Well,
yeah.
Right as we close out the episode, we hear G say, all right, this is fine, but the food competition better not be at 8 a.m. They've been complaining about this all season, that the food competition is always so early and they have to wake up, and they get so mad about it. They are told later in the night that there will be a food competition in the morning. They're all like, are you kidding us?
Yeah, that's great. I love it when they do that kind of things. I think that some underrated stuff, and we talked about this with the food competitions or the slop or PB&J or whatever, have nots, is I do like that an element of the game is like messing with the house guests. It's getting that cabin fever. It's, we're going to make a house uncomfortably hot or cold or whatever. We're going to wake you up in the morning. I mean, they do that even more in later seasons, where they have like in season 7 in particular, they'll purposely annoy the house guests, keep them up all night, and then make them participate in a competition. I like that.
Yeah, and also like it's entirely their fault. Just go to bed earlier if you're so mad about the competitions being in the morning. They warn you what the time of the competitions are, and they tell you to go to bed, and you don't do it.
Yep. Well, gotta be social. Gotta hang out.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is week 5 of Big Brother 4. Definitely very interested to see how we move forward from here, with June doing so much, and Allie doing so much, and the house being where it is. This competition outcome is going to be interesting, and there's a lot of room to go here, and I've been really really happy about sort of the details that I've been able to fill in, even just for myself, from these feeds. I feel like I'm getting a much better picture of June as a winner, and as a player, and so looking forward to next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Glad that we've gone over the hump. We're getting some interesting episodes coming in, and hearing about all the stuff that's happening on the feeds. So
yes,
getting there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. You can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. You can find Mary at @FrailMary. Make sure you reach out and let us know what you thought of this week's blockumentary episode, part, series thing. And come back next week.
It's really throwing you off with the change in format, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what to call them. Chapter, you know?
I don't know. I had this debate the other day. I hate it when people call things like chapter when it's not a book.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just call it episode or week. It's week 5.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be back next week with chapter 6 of the Big Brother blockumentary for season 4. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we will see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.